In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. In a past show, we touched on the ubiquitous phenom known as the read-write frequency overlay technology with past guest and author Evie Lorgan. A friend's anecdote describes, I was behind my couch fixing the frame and thought vice grips would be perfect to remove this bolt. He thought this, not vocalizing it. Meanwhile, his phone was in another room. Later in the day, he answers a call, and on the phone are ads for different brands of vice grips. It's no surprise to listeners, we've watched and continue to experience the complex alteration of organic reality. The invisible rainbow of frequency is quietly retuned by microwave and millimeter wave transmission, recalibrating subtle biological fields internally and externally. Past guest Matthew Deluz writes in his book titled, The Stars Are Falling, Reasons to Believe We're Enslaved by the Serpent, quote, it is only when our subconscious, on an individual, small group, and collective level, is interfered with, that our plans, so to speak, go out the window, and the events in our lives that we wanted to experience fail to materialize. If we were allowed to live and think naturally through spiritual intuition, then life on Earth would become a pleasure instead of a nightmare. If you had full access to your spiritual intuition, you would create something in your subconscious dream state on an individual level, and it would naturally come true in your physical reality. End quote. Well, Matthew Deluz reveals the true power of human beings, which is that the human mind, body, and spirit can change reality. The controllers attempt to harness, invert, and manipulate this extraordinary gift. A recent example is how the corporate media will fearmonger and hype up a weather event. The controllers need the reality manifesting fearfulness to be projected through the collective consciousness, very likely enhancing the event's natural destructive power. Neville Goddard says the spiritual law requires one to hold on to the dominant state, for example, of ease, confidence, and abundance, and over time, maybe less than a month, reality has no choice than to rearrange itself and respond to your inner being. How many of us can hold on to that dominant state while tormented by anxiety-provoking etheric parasites or a continuous corporate media narrative describing hard times? These appear to be the type of specific attacks to derail humanity's incredible manifestation process. Looking a little deeper, in his book titled Project Soulcatcher, Secrets of Cyber and Cybernetic Warfare Revealed, the late Dr. Robert Duncan argues the vast majority of the population is susceptible to or already under subtle, automated influence read-write manipulation, while a smaller percentage are harder to influence, such as targeted individuals or those resisting control. We talk more about the read-write overlay technology and also about spiritual morphic field manipulation and hopefully, if we have time, the reincarnation trap with our guest Harold Kotzvella. Harold is a chemist and author. He's published scientific research in how aerosol operation fallout have affected cellular life on Earth. His groundbreaking research into Morgellon syndrome can be found in the book titled Dangerous Imagination, Silent Assimilation. He's also part of a self-healing group that can be accessed at the website spiritconsult.org. His website is called Aquarius Technologies. Both links will be at inothernewsradio.com. Harold, welcome to Another News.
Good evening.
Harold, you've led a very interesting life in the past 25 years. I remember listening to a lecture, Basis 1946 about Morgellon syndrome 10 years ago. And prior to that, the aerosol operations have been streaking the blue skies heavily since the late 90s. Whatever they wanted us all to breathe in and get inside, organic living beings, well, that material is in most of us, I guess. I realize this is a big question and can be very technical. Would you please tell listeners or impart a broad summary of your research into Morgellon syndrome and how it's related to the material being released by the aerosol operations in the sky?
Okay. If it's okay for you, I would take a little bit broader picture, because we do have, from the transhumanist agenda, three different interfaces where computer networks can interconnect with the human consciousness. It's kind of a three-layered system, so it doesn't make sense to dive too deep into one layer, because it doesn't give a full understanding of what's happening.
Sure.
So the three layers, just to get the big picture first, is the neuronal nanobots. This is kind of piezo crystals, barium, strontium, titanate, piezo crystals that form artificial neuronal knots. And they are microwave sensitive, so you can read out and write in. This is basically has been tested for the first time with a mad cow disease episode in Great Britain. This was kind of the first big open air test campaign on cattle to see how to do those things. The Morgellon technology, I would call it, or biotechnology, is building an interface between biophoton exchange within the human body on all colors and a microwave radiation networks. And this is basically a silica-based mushroom that grows when we are heavy metal polluted in our body, that collects quantum dot dyes. Quantum dot dyes is it's no big secret, had been developed at Bell Labs in 82, is exactly an interface for microwave radiation to single photon emissions, so that you can basically read out biophoton communication, record it on a computer, and play it back. You don't really need to understand the language to replicate it. So, for example, you could make someone really angry, read out his anger, take the same signature, send it back in, and you make everyone angry. And the third layer is quantum level. This is what came in with the COVID agenda, where basically the human genome is hacked and CRISPRed, and new sequences are put in that basically try to connect us to a different collective consciousness. It's a fractal consciousness field that is active there. And this is kind of the deepest layer, the most complicated one, one where there actually is no scientific publication on it available in the publicly available research. So it's the most difficult to understand. But those basically are the three layers, and you always have like the read-only phase where data are collected from every single human being. Then there is a computer standing somewhere, for Europe it's in CERN mostly, where the computer program is running an AI avatar, a self-learning algorithm that basically tries to predict your behavior, and then it compares the actual behavior that it collects from the data stream to its own predictions, and then it's adopting the algorithm to become more and more a perfect replica of a human. And when the replica is working with 100% predictability, you can reverse the signal, and the human will not realize that suddenly he is living the life of a machine.
I see. And this is using, as you said, the piezoelectric particles that have that read-write capability, but also that third part that you described, the false collective consciousness, is that used in this process as well, in the reversal?
Yes. We don't really have Intel or real scientific data on that one. But sometimes we work very similar to what the CAA does. Just if you want to know something, go there astrally and spy on things. And what you can basically observe on the astral plane when you follow the signals of those genetics introduced with the COVID vaccine, you end up in a computer that very much resembles a D-Wave computer. Probably it is D-Wave. And there is a quantum entanglement between the genetics and the computer. So you're inside the computer, it's like an overlay of the consciousness of all vaccinated people, which is very similar to what you have in real nature, where a planetary consciousness is hosting the collective aspect of the species living on it. It's kind of resembling each other in a way.
And for listeners, the D-Wave computer is those water-cooled quantum computers that they've been working on that. Well, Harold, early on during the engineered pandemic, dozens of videos depicted people watch something circle them, and the person would spiral and end into a pulsing seizure. This grotesque attack upon the human race became an anomalous spectacle for a short time, and it was suspected to occur to those who had taken the injection. I guess it could have been the mRNA experimental gene therapy injection. Then reports emerged of how those who had taken the shots were broadcasting what's called an MAC address that could be detected using a Bluetooth receiver app on a digital phone. Mm-hmm. In addition to the cases resulting in quick termination of life and torturous injury, a profound physiological response to the gene therapy injection suggests the nanotechnology within the shots have been activated within the human body. Would you please talk about those who have taken the shot and what may have happened on the metaphysical and spiritual level, and can they recover from these attacks?
Maybe last question, yes. For this lifetime, recovery is possible. The ongoing infections have a heavier impact on the body than the residues of the vaccinations. It's like 25% spikes from injections and 75% now from Delta and Omicron infections. So this is not the biggest problem. In general, what the design is like, the spike protein, first of all, is switching two important epigenetic switches. It's methylating BRCA1, destroying the ability of the human genome to self-repair, and it demethylates 5-3-BP1, which is opening the thyroid to accept biological programs. The thyroid is a communication organ, and it has the ability to host something. In previous times, you would call it a disease demon. It's just an kind of like a bioenergetic extension, self-aware, self-conscious, that carries in nature repair programs. For example, if your boss has been pushing you too much, your wife wasn't happy with the salary you bring home, so you're completely fed up with life, you need a break, you catch a cold. It's just a program to cleanse out all the stress hormones you could not cleanse out by normal self-regulation. So you need a break, you need a special program to do the cleaning job, to give yourself time to recover your biochemical resources for self-regulation. So this is kind of the healthy thing. And for that purpose, the thyroid has this ability to open up, to invite a disease program, to catch it from someone else, invite it in. And it's not either or, it's both, because you always have these discussions if a virus does exist at all. And yes, the virus does exist. You can also call it exosome if you look at it from the internal perspective of the human body from microbiology. But this is only one part. In biology, you always have the material compound and the field compound, and they always work together. One is the organized matter, and the other one is the organizing field. And they always come as a unit. So the thyroid has this ability as a light transmitting organ to make the interface between the organizing light body, the spiritual compound, and the biochemistry of the body. This is why it's in charge for producing most of the hormones or regulating most of the hormones in the human body. So this is also regulating the immune system completely. Normally, when you catch a disease, temporarily, your BRCA1 is methylated, the 5-3-BP1 is demethylated. It's like a switch with two ends. And then your soul is expelled. And the disease demon is invited in for a short period of time. This is the natural mechanism. And COVID, the spike, is breaking those switches and blocking them in the state where you accept biological programs. And the soul is expelled. This is what Klaus Schwab says when he says in future the human soul will have no access to the human body. But everyone is going to be happy, of course, or make him happy, maybe would be a better expression. But so this is separating the soul and opening the field to introduce bioenergetic program that runs a completely different show. The other aspect of it that needs to be regarded, it's killing a lot of hemoglobin. So you have ferritin going up in your biochemistry. And due to the depletion of the thyroid, you have low potassium. And this is leading to a malfunction or a modification of certain nanocrystals that are in your body in the natural way to translate feelings into data inside the nervous system. It's kind of capable of picking up the feeling in the field, the anger that is in your aura, and it translated to a nervous signal that signals your brain, I'm angry. And this in nature, it's potassium fluoride. And if this balance of iron and potassium is more on the iron side because of the depletion of the red blood cells and the malfunction of the thyroid, then they regrow as iron fluoride, which is not hexagonal as a crystal, but orthorhombic. And this orthorhombic crystal refuses to interact with emotional fields. So the entire natural emotionality that comes from the soul level is not readable by the mind anymore. So you don't know anymore what you feel. And at the same time, those orthorhombic crystals can be easily possessed by archons, demons, or biological programs, whatever you want to call it, so that you can build a secondary interface on that level in the lower chakras. So these are the major shifts coming with the spike protein, apart from the quantum level that I'm not able to fully explain how that works on the quantum level. But those two are quite well-researched.
That does explain some of the behavior and observations right now, and people are compiling videos about how there's a subtle change within the population and people are acting differently. The thyroid, I recently read, also regulates digestive acids in your stomach. Mm. There is an iodine solution. I think it's called Logel's iodine solution. And people are taking that just to help their thyroid and other parts of their body, just a basic preventative treatment. Is there a way out for those who have taken the shots? And maybe before we get to that, is the reactions that you described here as severe to those who didn't take the shots but may have been exposed to spike protein?
The sad thing is that you can hardly see a difference between the two groups anymore, because the infections also, especially Omicron, leaves pockets, infected pockets all over the body that keep emitting spike protein even if you're cured. So this is like the vaccine, just an eternal source of toxic spike protein you carry around. So I would really stop saying those who took the shots, they're lost, and those who didn't, they can do whatever they want, they will come to heaven on earth. This is not how it works. You really need to carefully check your body, see if there are spikes in your blood. And if there are spikes, there are quite a few things you can do to get rid of them. The most intelligent one, or most complex, best researched approach was run by Vidicinals. Vidicinals.com would be their website distribution in the United States. This is a nutraceutical approach where they just checked what does exactly the immune system need to fight off spike and to fight off viral infections. And then they started with like 80 different compounds that are known to be helpful with those infections, and they reduced it to the 9 most important ones. And then they started to do tens of scientific projects to find out exactly in what, how much you take of what compound to get the perfect mix. It's like a, not like a fingerprint, it's like a key. The immune system in a way works like a key. If you're healthy, you have a certain distribution of nutrients in your system. And when you're out of some of those nutrients, your immune system is getting the order to acquire a disease, to give the body time to regenerate kind of the key. And this Vidicinals is exactly a copy of that key. So from day one, if you take it in the high dose that is recommended, from day one, your immune system is getting the order or the information. Nutrition values are back to normal. You can get rid of the disease again. So it's not healing. It's just activating the full-blown self-healing approach of the human body. And this is the best thing you can do, because this is exactly how you acquire immunity afterwards. It doesn't make much sense to get a vaccine, to have this little bit immunity that is not keeping you from getting infected, but also, you know, what they always say, the infection is less intense if you're vaccinated. Yeah, but it doesn't give you immunity, because the body thinks it has immunity. And this is how you acquire long COVID at the end of the day, because it's becoming a chronic disease. So if you want to really once and forever, or once a year, clean out all the spike bullshit, or after every infection you catch, clean out, really take that Vidicinal thing. It's not that expensive compared to other ones that had been developed. And it's the most reliable way to get rid of spike residues in the body, to get rid of blood clot in the veins. So this is scientifically proven. I've seen the pictures. After 3 weeks, you don't see any blood clots anymore in the blood. The only thing that is not yet solved is gut bacteria get infected with the virus. So you have more complex environments unfolding in the gut, where the gut bacteria start producing the spike, not the human body. And this is not an infection of the human body. This is why it doesn't show up, but it's giving you the spikes as part of your daily nutrition. And there are protocols, but they're still very heavy, because you need to completely kill off that toxic environment and regrow it from scratch. And another problem when you have those pockets in the cellular system where single cells are and stay infected but get encapsulated, they also shed spike protein. And this is not solved yet, but I know that the company is working on solutions on that, on that problem as well. So if I would look for something also in the future, check the publications and the solutions offered by Joachim Gerlach, CEO of Edisonals. He's leading the research at the moment.
Can you repeat that that name and the website? I think it was Medicinals.
Joachim Gerlach, Vedicinals. From Vedic. So they started in producing in India because it's kind of compatible with the Vedic medicine that is very popular in India. So Vedicinals from medicinal. So it's a word mix of Vedic and medicinal, and then .com.
Okay, I'll look for those and I'll post them on the website as well. Mm. Thank you, Harold. I didn't know about the those fine details about what's going on with those who took the shot and didn't. So we're all kind of in it together right now.
The best term to describe what we're watching now is herd immune deficiency. Not yeah. herd immunity, what they promised us with the vaccine. We get an immune deficiency because the vaccines and the infections, they pump up the immunity for like 2, 3, 4 months. And then immunity is diving down, but it's not diving down back to normal. It's diving down to below what people had before because part of the immune system is destroyed by the spike.
As far as treatment, I've heard discussion of a couple things. One is nanokinase. I'm sure you've heard of, about that, the soy product in Japan, and the EDTA IVs. Or are you familiar with that as well?
Yes, we had really controversial discussions. I used to warn about nanokinase and nanokinase because it's... You know, I'm a very visual human, and what natokinase does is it's breaking down the spikes into smaller parts. And even the smaller parts of the spike, they can be dangerous. Like some of them, for a while it looked like that they can cause turbo Alzheimer. And it's like, you know, if you have a drawer and there's a mirror inside and you want to take that mirror out of the drawer, you don't break it into bits and pieces and then take your hand, put it in and grab it blindly. You would rather take the mirror out in one piece. And this is what the immune system can do if it has enough support. Everything that is breaking down one big problem into 1,000 small problems, you can show off because you have solved the big problem. But as long as you don't really take care of the side effects you create, and you research them and you communicate them, and this is kind of what is for me showing the difference between Medicinals, Joachim Gerlach, and all the other ones who offer solutions. He is spending millions on research, except of having a scientific discussion on YouTube every now and then, zero on advertisement. And all the other companies spend like millions on advertisement, but they don't do the research. They grab a solution that pops up somewhere and say, okay, I think we can make money on that one. And then they come out and claim, oh, natokinase is solving all the problems. I know that one had been researched by other people, and they dropped it because of side effects, if you do research. Mm-hmm. Can't name them now exactly what the side effects were, but I heard of some that were definitely showing that it's not the most elegant way to destroy spike. It does destroy spike. It's giving a short-term effect on the spike in the bloodstream. This is proven, yes, natokinase is breaking down what's in the blood. It can save your life when you're 25 minutes before getting a stroke, possibly. But it's not solving the problem with your intestines. It's not solving the problem with the pockets. It's not solving all the other problems, because it's not a systemic approach. It's a symptomatic approach. If you have a systemic approach available, this is normally what I go for personally.
Okay. Before we get on to the next question, I just wanted to run a concept by you. There's a conversation whether a virus is real or not. And Dr. Thomas Cowan, early on in 2020, he was a professor at a university talking about a quantum shift in the ambient electromagnetic background. And he's saying that that is what happened to cause this epidemic, in that the move from 4G to 5G had caused the DNA protein, some of them, something to happen within the protein to be expelled and turn into a virus. And that was the increasing viral load inside of people. It was not external. Did you hear that theory?
I'm aware that 5G is elevating the risk to get infections. This is known. It's more stress on the body if you catch radiation. It's more stress, and more stress is producing more rubbish. And when you have more rubbish in your liquids, then the body is very likely starting a program to get rid of it. So yes, it's definitely pushing the risk to catch an infection. I'm not sure if the core intel is coming from the field or from the virus, as far as we have seen the sequences of the virus. This is perfect lab work. You have four different snail venoms inside there. You've got a cone snail venom, and it's all psychotronic warfare. The cone snail, if you just check which one it is in nature and see how it hunts, it's slightly poisoning the water around it. It's a maritime cone snail. And the poison is entering through the skin of fish. And then they develop the desire to get close to the cone snail to get stung by its needle. And we found out about this because long COVID patients kind of went subconscious and woke up in a line in front of a vaccination center and had no clue how they got there. And this happened like five times in a row. So something in their system made them wanting to get stung by a needle.
Oh.
And this is the cone snail poison. If you look at the snake venom inside the genetic setup, it is coming from snake varieties that don't just hunt and eat. They hunt, they bite, they poison. Then they release the rat or whatever they had. And the rat runs home to his family and starts a major fuss and attacks his own family members, driving them out of the secure area where the family is living. And then all the snakes get something to eat. And this is exactly what you see when you see the aggression that you could observe from vaccinated people against non-vaccinated people. This is all not psychotronic, it's psychoactive biological weaponry that is in that genome. So there is something in the RNA that has been definitely either copy-pasted from nature and assembled to a working unit, or when you look at how the vaccines have been produced in the early stage before they were reproduced by bacteria, they have been printed on RNA printing machines, which means there is an electronic file that holds the intel of the RNA, and then the RNA is produced by a machine. This is how they made the first batches of vaccines. But then they didn't have enough printers, so they basically took the ready-made RNA and just made bacteria reproduce it.
I've heard that the virus was never isolated, so you were able to look at the actual virus?
Sequencing is daily business of all the people dealing with genetics.
Understood.
I don't know who says nobody ever saw a virus. When I go online, I see hundreds, thousands of pictures how a virus or different viruses look like.
This is
just, you can't just make a statement and expect everyone to believe if you say there has never been a picture made from. Of course, many of them are animated, and it's hard to distinguish an animation. But from the science end, what you do when you want to make a detailed analysis, you basically sequence things. So like cutting the RNA into sentences, from a book into sentences, and then you read the sentences, and then the computer program is reassembling from overlapping regions the entire book. And this is how you get kind of the code of a genetic concept. And reading the bits and pieces, and science can look that deep into tiny little things to be able to read out genetics.
For sure. A past guest, Evie Lorgan, she mentioned you, Harold, about the read-write technology that you were talking about in some of your presentations. So I asked her about people observing how once they thought of something, they would then see an advertisement or reference to that object on their phone or suggestion maybe in their video feed. And this is when they're away from their device, there's no verbal communication. And it implies, as you're talking about, there's an advanced mind reading or brain hack, maybe interacting from the wireless microwave and millimeter wave radiation devices to the human brain. And she mentioned your read-write overlay technology research into this subject. Would you tell listeners about what you learned about this unfortunate and intrusive technology, please?
It has a long history that is actually quite down to earth, if you look at it. It all started with radar-based battlefield monitoring. And this was an advantage the American Navy had over the land-based parts of the army, that they could run over seawater 3D radar monitoring because the air is salty and conductive. This is basically where the idea of chemtrailing came from. The U.S. Army wanted to have plasma or conductive layers covering the entire American continent to also be able to, for example, fend off intercontinental ballistic missiles that don't fly over the ocean, that fly through open space, and that just pinch down from above. And if you don't have 3D radar monitoring, you have no means to protect the country from that type of threat. So they started working with this 3D battlefield monitoring. And then if you have the technology, you start to make simulations. So they started to simulate battles, air battles, in a computer to give their pilots the best possible order how to proceed with a dogfight. This was like in a time when the first computers had capacities to calculate complex systems. They had the education of an American pilot. They had theory about the education of a Russian pilot. So they had algorithms running for each pilot to pre-calculate his most likely maneuver. And from those calculations, it was all about likelihoods. They would kind of produce orders to their own pilots how to behave in a dogfight, knowing exactly what the Russian pilot will do next. And these programs, they started actually with like 20, 25, 30, when the computers were still not that high in capacity, 25, 30, 40 humans and their decision making and the prediction of their decision making. And on one end, the entire technology was adopted to the land. You had the chemtrailing, you had the plasma levels also on ground level. And this is what evolved into 5G, where you have like a 3D radar monitoring on ground level. And at the same time, the technology to mimic the behavior of people also evolved and got higher capacities. So they started putting up a computer avatar for every single citizen, playing this funny game of seeing how predictable can he get. This is what all the gang stalking is about. People in the United States who are gang stalked by Homeland Security, the only crime they're committed is not being predictable. So they need to be traumatized, because when you're traumatized, you run on in personality mode, and a personality is always predictable. And then this is exactly the point where it's getting interesting, just to spy on people and to predict their behavior. As long as you're a loving citizen, you couldn't care less. But the same technology used to read out can be simply inverted. And then the avatar is starting to run a biorobot. And the avatar has an interface on the computer end where you can insert commands. Now go to the school and shoot all the children and the teachers. Bang. Yeah, we just needed something to get the guns out of the population. So we needed a little massacre of children to introduce gun control. Oh. This can be easily done. Just having one of the biorobots switched, and then this is what they basically say. Yeah, the Lord talked to me. The Lord said, take a rifle and shoot them all. Yeah, very simple. If he's a religious person, and the avatar knows that he would obey a religious command.
And they can get these signals into minds of people so seamlessly that they don't know that the quantum computer is at the avatar is at 100% capacity mirror, and then it's feeding back to the person, the organic human, in a seamless capacity. Are there any artifacts or glitches that people might notice?
Yes. I perceived that effect twice in my life, when basically it's not that much that single individuals are written by the AI. Mostly AI takes over a scenario, because if everyone in the room is experiencing the same glitch, none of them will realize there is one. And I remember that I was twice in a room where there was a glitch, and it caught some of the people, and some of the people were not writable. And they basically ditched out into a completely different reality. It was like sitting together. Then you get like 3, 4, 5 black frames where consciousness is completely gone. In the first millisecond, I thought, whoa, I just fainted for a second. But I was still holding my glass in my hand, so it can't be too much of fainting. I was still sitting in the same posture. So I thought, okay, that must have been a millisecond. But then I tried to catch up with the conversation, and I realized that they had changed the topic. And the other topic was already running for 15 minutes, because they were in the middle or in the end of a completely different conversation. So there was, it looks like there was something introduced that had a backstory, like in a film script, completely different backstory that was coming from the computer, and then you had the cut, and then they continued to live in the backstory provided by the computer to not feel the breaking point. And it didn't work on myself, because I had all those preventions of not having transhumanist technology in my body. Solutions we had developed. It's also traded from German ground and Swiss ground. So it couldn't write me. And then I just looked around on the table to see if someone else was irritated, and see there, Dan, the guy from England, Master Shaman, also was clean enough to not get caught in the trick. And he also looked irritated. I just asked, Dan, did you get that? He said, yes, that was creepy. Oh. Because he also got the shift. Yeah, and the thing is, and this is where we touch the quantum level, because when I look from the quantum realm, human consciousness is creating the material plane. And if you catch an entire group of humans and turn them into biorobots at the same time, they will start creating also a physical reality, kind of a technological timeline that is solely running on computer code. So it's like a sub-matrix created.
Oh, because they have to use the human as the organic.
Yes, okay. It's the organic compound. This is something they can't steal. They can't steal the manifestative powers of a human. They can't steal the thing that makes us create a physical realm we live in.
Another concept that you had brought up in an interview, or it was a presentation you had made. It's a fascinating insight about the macro level perspective of morphic fields, specifically of a country as it relates to the intentional migration of individuals from a brutally traumatized country into another less traumatized country. Everyone is aware of this on a massive scale, never before seen, as people migrate from North Africa and the Middle East into Europe and the UK. And as 40 million plus have now migrated into the United States and parts of North America, would you please talk about your evaluation of these impacts through the lens of the morphic field?
I learned it from Syria. I had friends coming from Syria. I'm connected to the region. And when they started or tried to get a civil war started, I just was laughing my head off because I said, I know those people, you know, when a Muslim wanted to pray and there was no mosque around, he went into a church. And when a Christian wanted to pray and there was no church around, he went into a mosque. And I said, there's no way that you can ignite religious hatred in that country. But I did not make the bill with all the Iraqi people were basically fleeing the civil war in Iraq. It was at that time, I think, 2 million people that found refuge in Syria. And they brought in the amount of trauma that was high enough to ignite a restaging of the traumatizing event. This is something in the human nature. If you experience something traumatizing, parts of your soul break away and go into hiding in dream worlds. And then the part that is left over to form the day consciousness will subconsciously try to restage the traumatizing situation from whatever perspective, as, again, a victim or as a perpetrator. It doesn't make a big difference for the soul. It just needs the pictures to understand and to remember what happened and find that entry point where it can remount the soul parts that got lost, either by rediscovering compassion with the victim, by being a victim but finding a way to fight yourself free and save yourself from a point of self-responsibility. This also puts an end to a traumatic bracket. Let's call it a bracket. And that power in Syria made the day. So they could ignite civil war. And they managed to completely destroy the country by it. And when all those traumatized refugees started to flow into Germany, I could see the tension building up. And it's still low level. You have like a lot of violence on the street. You have a lot of knives popping up or killing people. 2 days ago, a lady was pushed under a train in one of the train stations by one of those completely destroyed and distorted people who come here. I know that basically the organization of them coming here is made in a way that every single one of them, especially the men, they have a handler and they have access to weaponry. And if someone decides this is the day we want to see civil war in Europe to cut down civil rights, they will have a civil war because I have friends who talk to them. They say, yeah, we know that we are here by contract, that we are sleepers, and we hate the day when our handler is giving us a phone call, because actually we like the German people, but we have no choice. We were contracted. And then we have to do what we were told to do. And there's no way to return home because they all converted to Christianity to get out quicker. And if they return to their home countries, they will be executed as Christians. So there's no way home. And they are trapped, those people. And this is kind of what is really making the thing dangerous, because there is a command structure controlling that trauma.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate the metaphysical evaluation that you put onto this, and that you have a model of Syria, and now you can apply that to different countries in Europe that are experiencing this, and then in this country as well, we're experiencing that trauma. You can apply the same healing treatments that you do on the individual. It's a step in the right direction to maybe neutralize something here.
Possibly. Yeah. This is the weird thing in Germany. You can see the catastrophe unfolding, and then you see the German people who live that weird form of welcome culture, you know, welcoming the refugees, helping them through the daily routines, teaching them German, helping the kids to master school. And all of that actually is a valid measure to remove the trauma from those people. Mm-hmm. Just by having them receive love. I personally made friends with one of the ISIS founders in Berlin. Wow. And he said, in the entire Arab world, even from my own mother, I have not received as much love as I have received from the psychologist in jail while I was sitting in a German jail for membership in ISIS. And he said he still was able to find those programs within himself, telling him it's okay to kill a non-believer. But he said, I don't want to. You know, I don't want to, because here I have received love.
We jumped around amid several topics in this interview. You explained how we all have some version of herd immune deficiency, having absorbed the spike protein from various sources. I'll put a link to the Vidicinals.com site on InOtherNewsRadio.com. We addressed the read-write overlay technology and how everyone has a digital avatar. An experimental version of this took the form of gang stalking and microwave attacks. You explained the spiritual morphic field of countries and how the morphic fields can absorb the trauma from mass migrations. This will conclude part one of this interview. Harold, please tell listeners how to find your writings, your website, and to keep in touch.
Okay, for the self-healing techniques, self-healing work, there's also going to be a self-healing wiki online. Sometimes not yet there, it's in preparation, where you can just pull techniques, how to help yourself.
Okay.
This is something we do in Germany, Switzerland, and Austria for the moment, and still waiting for people to join in from other countries. It's adoptable to other areas of the planet. So we've got a foot in the United States. This is okay, but not in the other European countries yet, not in the non-German speaking. There's a lot of theory publications on Aquarius technologies. The healing thing is spiritconsult.org. Aquarius-technologies is my old company page, and you've got the publication area and all sorts of languages where you can basically read the same thing with proper quotations and scientific proof. Yeah, but there's one more thing I need to say if I have the time.
Oh, please do, Harold.
We covered a lot of ugly stuff today, and we managed to kind of get a little bit bigger picture in the last year that this. What looks like being in a dogfight with evil when you're in drama interaction, you know, this, the satanic realm that is deploying the transhumanist agenda, and people fall for it, and how can I save my kids, my family from that? And, you know, that's a lot of drama. When you look at it from a higher perspective, we're not on a prison planet. We are in a scientific lab environment. And the current design of the human species is particularly designed to have a heart access, a heart-based access to source that runs deeper than all the satanic trauma reaches. So we were made to find a cure to that satanic problem. And even if it looks like that a lot of people are still kind of captured in the echo of the satanic unconsciousness, repeating traumatizing events and repeating and repeating and falling deeper because they just refuse to feel the pain. From my perspective, it looks like that the core duty we were put in, find a solution to the satanic problem, that this was the last cycle we have been put in, and this solution has been found as a quality, not as a quantity. And the only things that we just need to still see is how that quality is reconquering the space here. Maybe as a proof of principle, maybe as the first good thing to happen out of that. But when you communicate with the beings outside of the lab environment, the ones who have created this lab, they are 100% satisfied with the results, and they actually wanted to shut the place down completely. We refuse to get shut down, and something out there is respecting free will. For me, it's like a carpet, waving a carpet. We were supposed to find one beautiful carpet pattern. This was our duty. We found it. The rest of the carpet is still a mess. But the same love that made us find that beautiful pattern that we were meant to find insists on getting the entire carpet right. So out there, the other species, they're laughing their heads off that we basically volunteer to stay in our own prison environment, clearing up the mess by ourselves, while everyone else out there is already celebrating, saying, you've done it good, you've done it right, we've got the solutions, you can come out and incarnate somewhere nice.
Going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.